All right, good morning, Lambrick. Welcome into this part of the morning. Always feels so weird. 15, 16 months into this and still feeling this distance of the pieces. So excited for regathering in a few weeks, September 5th, and being able to come and, be a church and worship together and step up and pray and minister together. I'm excited for it. I know you are. Well, I'm glad to be back from having a bit of a break. And if you watched the Thursday Community Life video that I shared, you'll know that today I'm introducing a short series that will take us through the end of the month and the summer, a study we're calling Prayer in the Land Between. And this morning, my intention isn't as much to preach a typical sermon as it is to introduce where we're going and why it matters and invite you to not just listen each Sunday or whenever you listen, but to enter into this with me. And I hope far beyond the Sunday moment of this teaching. In truth, I think many of us need what we're going to talk about this month, which I hope you'll sense with me this morning. You'll notice I'm in a different space. We're preparing places, areas of the church for us to regather, repurposing space, putting things back into place. And so Simon has moved us from a room down in the basement of the church. I'm up now in like an upper loft studio room behind the stage and off to the left if you're looking at the stage. So it's a funny space, feels very different to be here, but it's where we are. So I'm just going to say that. It's my way of making myself feel calm. Oh yeah, with that, I don't have a computer in front of me, which I've had so many weeks back to paper. Pardon the printing, but this is what we have today. So, all right. Let me just pray as we move our hearts into this space. God, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we long to hear your voice, to know our lives in you, and you here with us. So I just lift to you my friends and those that I have yet to meet who have joined us in this season, are joining us. God, would you turn us toward you? Would the reflections that I bring, the introduction that I bring to this short series, would it be the means of your voice to us and us feeling heard by you, God, seen by you? And your grace allow us to hear something of you, to know you with us, God, right here, today, in this moment, in this place, God. So guide me now, Lord. Guide us. Amen. All right, I'm going to look at my watch so I know how long I am. I want to start this morning by naming the basic premise that shapes what I want to explore with you over the next number of weeks. It flows out of a simple observation about the book of Psalms, an observation Glenn shared a few years back, and it's this. As we open the book of Psalms, Psalm 1 begins with blessing. It begins with a promise of blessing. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord. They are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." So the Psalms begin with blessing, a promise of blessing. If we scroll all the way to the end, the final Psalm ends with praise, bold praise, all-consuming praise. Psalm 150, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness," and on and on. The Psalms begin with blessing and end with praise. And in between the promise of blessing and the fulfillment celebrated with praise, in between we find ourselves, our lives, our world, our friends and families, with the psalmists crying out, wrestling with God, wrestling with ourselves, with the promise, wrestling to bear fruit, wrestling to make sense of it all. In a very real sense, we live in this in-between place, or as some call it, in the land between. Hence the title of our study, Prayer in the Land Between. In the place between the promise and the fulfillment. And life, as many of us know, life in between can be hard. Some of us know that right now. We're in that place. Or to change the metaphor to the season we're in, I want to spend the coming weeks naming the simple reality that though it may be summer outside and a beautiful summer here in Victoria, it is not always summer in us, is it? In our soul, in our core, in our being, in our life with God. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because this is you right now in the season you're in. Though the earth's seasons change in this predictable rhythm, the seasons of our soul, our life with God, do not work by the same predictable calendar. Why? Well, I'm sure there's lots of reasons, some that I can't understand, but part of it is, at the core of it is, because God does not work on the same predictable calendar. And so though we may know how to pray when the sun is shining on us and the flowers are in bloom, spiritually speaking, sometimes we find ourselves at a loss for words in prayer when the streets of our soul are covered in debris or the long winter hits and there's no end in sight. In the midst of these seasons in our lives, in our soul, we don't always know how to pray. Some of you are in this place right now where you don't know what to pray or how to pray. You feel a need to pray, a need for prayer and to prayer, to pray, but it doesn't happen. It doesn't flow. Maybe you come into a space that normally would be a space for prayer and you find yourself empty, not knowing what to say or how to pray, which is hard. Because we know, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know that prayer is the water and air of the Christian life. We know that prayer, keeping company with God, is the most basic element of life with God, as conversation is in any relationship. And yet in these seasons, in the land between, we often find ourselves struggling to pray. In the wake of grief, in the midst of trauma, when life's disappointments seem everywhere, when the answers are not coming, when our sin is so loud to us and we feel the brokenness, but we can't seem to get anywhere in it, or the questions seem bigger than the answers, more real than the answers, or we just find ourselves flat and the hope we have for more is not happening and it's just a desert in us. We struggle to pray. Not necessarily because prayer itself is hard. It's not hard to find words, but because relationships are difficult, which is what prayer is all about. We don't always understand. We don't always get the other. And in this case, the other is God. And let's be honest, we don't always get God, maybe often get God. For all the ways we may know God, we don't always understand what God is doing or why. We can't always make sense of where God is leading us or how. That's just the nature of relationships. But even more so when we're talking about a relationship with the God of the universe, most of us don't even understand ourselves at times, right? And so because of this, we all struggle in our relationship with God, in our life of prayer or lack of prayer in these seasons. And I would say our prayer life or lack of prayer is a sign of this struggle. Seasoned Christians in every age have experienced this, have had to learn that life with God is not always summer, as much as we may want it to be, that life with God, life in Christ is not always a linear, further up, further in journey. And we need to understand and accept this, to acknowledge and embrace this as something we will experience, that there are seasons in our life with God, no matter how much faith we have or hope we have, there are seasons in our life with God where we will find God making us lie down in green pastures, leading us by quiet waters, restoring our soul. But there are also other seasons where we will find ourselves in the darkest valley, in the presence of enemies. Both of those experiences are named for us in Psalm 23 as just a normal part of the Christian life, life with God. There are times in our journey with Christ where we will hear his voice and know his nearness. And there are times where it will seem as though God is hiding himself from us. Following Jesus does not guarantee us an endless summer. Our journey with Christ, in Christ, will take us through all the seasons, but in each we can know and need to know that Christ will be with us there, in those places. That is his promise. We may not always be able to recognize his presence, but as Psalm 23 attests, in the dark valley, the shepherd, Yahweh, is there with us. This is his promise. He's assured us that he is and will be with us in and through all of the seasons of our lives to the end of the age. And this is vital for us to understand and embrace for a number of reasons. First of all, so we'll stop beating ourselves up when we find ourselves in these seasons of struggle, questions, grieving, disappointment, dryness. Some of you need to receive this right now. You are in a place of struggle, questions, grieving, disappointment, dryness, feeling lost. And you are beating yourselves up because you think this is a sign that you're a bad Christian or that none of it is real. And you need to know what Christians before you in every age have had to learn, that this is a part of the journey, that these experiences are not outside of life with God. They are simply a part of the journey. We read about them in the lives of Moses and Abraham and Sarah and Hagar and David and Jeremiah and Elizabeth and Zechariah. And behind the text of those addressed in the letters of the New Testament, we see this in the life of Jesus in the wilderness and in the garden and on the cross. I know this has been a part of my journey in many places, in many seasons. Contrary to what the pseudo-Christian books at Chapters or Indigo say, I think of a title of a Joel Osteen book, every day is not a Friday, nor is this God's primary concern or promise. And we need to understand this so that we won't give up when we find ourselves in these places. And we won't think or believe the lie that God has given up on us. That somehow if we were real Christians, if God really loved us, we wouldn't have these seasons in our lives. That's how we think sometimes. Some of you are wrestling with that these days. It's how the Christian life is presented sometimes, but it's not what we encounter in the pages of Scripture. And not just in the Old Testament before Jesus, but on into the New Testament, after the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus and the coming of the Spirit. But this isn't just about us being able to give ourselves grace, to be kind to ourselves. We need to understand and embrace this for the sake of others, for the sake of one another, so that we can and will affirm God's faithfulness, as I am seeking to do for you today, so that we can and will affirm God's faithfulness and presence and goodness when others face dry times, hard times, questioning times, dark times, the wilderness, the wild beasts. And especially in these times, for those are the times when others will need to affirm what they are tempted to lose sight of or deny in the dark. There are things that God has taught you, things that God has taken you through that have held your life, fueled your life, that right now you're questioning. And it's important for us to trust and believe that there are these seasons in our lives as we walk alongside one another. So when we're in those places, when you're in those places, we can say back to you, you can trust God in this dark place. Don't believe the lie that everything God has taught you before is not true. You're in a dark place. You're in the valley. Christ is there, and he can take you through this. God is there. That's the witness of Scripture and the witness of so many Christians. God is there. He's promised to be there with us. So many people can say, do say, that these dark chapters and all the pain and trauma of them often are the place where our where we can find God with us. In not just the spring and summer of our soul, but the fall and the winter, and all the days in between. The question isn't, will we experience these difficult, different and difficult seasons in our life with God, but how will we walk with God? How will we live and pray through the seasons that life will bring? How will we learn to live and pray through all the seasons that life with God will bring? Now, throughout history, those who've gone before us, God's people, have answered this question consistently by directing us to one source, and that source is the Psalms, the book of Psalms. In my Bible, it's on page 493. I'm not sure in yours. Usually, it's in about the middle. And the invitation is not just to read the Psalms, but to let the Psalms become our teachers in the school of prayer in all the seasons of our lives. Inviting us to enter into the Psalms, to let the Psalms teach us to pray in all the seasons of our life. And we need this because sadly, without the Psalms, many of us have, will, maybe already have found that we are actually ill-equipped to pray in and through all the seasons of our life with God. We're okay and when it's spring and summer and we can see the buds coming and fruit. We've got songs for that. But come fall or winter, we don't know what to say. We lack the language to express what needs to be said. Let me explain. I want to say that again. We lack the language to express what needs to be said. Without the tutoring of God through the Psalms, many of us lack the language to express what needs to be said in the darker, harder seasons of our life. And if you don't know what I mean, let me put it this way. I had a friend in Saskatoon named Vitaly Kushner. Vitaly was a pastor of a Slavic church plant in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, ministering to immigrants from Slavic nations. So that's Ukraine, Russia, many nations, really, Romania. And like many from his part of the world, Vitaly spoke five languages. That was just normal growing up in his neighborhood so that you could converse with all your neighbors. And yet when it's time for Vitaly to preach or pray, Vitaly speaks Russian or Ukrainian. Because although his English is so good, he would say that he can't yet express himself in English the way he wants to and needs. He hasn't yet acquired the capacity to say what needs to be said. And I think this is true for many of us in prayer. We have not yet acquired the language necessary to pray in all the seasons of our lives, which is why we need the Psalms. Why we need to enter into the Psalms, to embrace the Psalms as our tutors in prayer. This is one of the reasons why God has given us the book of Psalms, that through them, God might teach us to pray. That through them, God might help us develop the capacity to live and pray in all the seasons that life will bring, in times of thankfulness and sorrow, in times of grieving and new birth, in times of clarity and revelation and understanding, and times of confusion and questions that won't go away, in seasons of repentance and seasons of renewal, in times of desolation, times of consolation, in the dark valley, on the wings of the dawn, in exile and homecoming. The Psalms are our companions in all the seasons of our soul. The whole of life is found there. And through them, we discover that even better, that God is our companion in all the seasons of our soul. And not just our companion, but God over us. The God who is with us in these seasons is over us and over the season in which we find ourselves. Which points us toward one of the great mysteries of the Psalms, that although they are the words of God's people, lost and found, voiced in prayer to God, they are also somehow the inspired words of God. As the psalmists cry out, God cried out in them, inspiring them to give voice to his voice, even when they didn't know it and feel it. Which is one of the reasons why I come again and again to pray the Psalms season after season. In most stretches, as I begin my day, I begin by reading and praying a psalm. And I do this as a chosen discipline because what I long for is not simply to pray and pour out my heart to God, but I long to hear God's voice, to know God's heart. And praying the Psalms leads us there. It gives me, not only gives me words, gives words to my prayer, but it opens my ears to hear God's voice, God's prayer. And as I pray the psalm, as I join my voice with the psalmist, God speaks, and sometimes I hear it. His words on my lips become his words spoken to me, which in turn inspires me to respond in prayer, which is a gift because I'm sure many of us have heard people talk about prayer as not a one-way street, but a two-way conversation. But let's be honest, that is not always our experience. Maybe it is often not our experience, especially when we simply pray on our own with nothing before us, just lifting up our voice. But as we enter into the prayers of the Psalms, as we pray the Psalms, we are invited to hear a voice that is not our own. For the Psalms are not just the prayers of God's people, but they are God speaking. That alone is reason enough for me to often come back to the Psalms, and maybe reason enough for you to begin praying the Psalms today. But I've learned over the years, it's not the only reason we need the Psalms, to learn to pray the Psalms, because too often, and I have experienced this again and again, too often, too easily, our prayers are simply all about us, right? Our needs, our wants, our questions, our longings. And though the Psalms don't bypass or ignore us, they actually invite us to bring the whole of our lives to God. They will not allow us to simply remain praying for ourselves. As we pray the Psalms, we will find ourselves led into prayer for others, for neighbors, friends, a sister, a family member, for the nations, for the suffering, for those in power, for those under those in power, for the oppressed. Through the Psalms, God will seek to lead us to pray beyond what's on our heart as we wake up into the day, but to actually pray what's on God's heart, his concerns, his longing for us and for others, for our world. I experienced this the other day, this week, as it's happened to me so many times. I came to pray the next psalm in my reading, flipped the page to the next psalm, which was Psalm 35, just the next reading in the succession. And I found myself praying to the God who contends. The God who contends with those who act unjustly, to oppress others, to harm others, to threaten others. And I've had seasons in my life where I felt like I was in this psalm and I prayed this prayer as my own prayer. But this week, as I came to the psalm, I found myself praying this psalm for others, for some of you, some of my neighbors, others who feel in this season attacked, under threat, under the foot of others, which wasn't on my heart when I woke up, but it was and is on God's heart. And so as I prayed Psalm 35, I prayed what was on God's heart. And I think this is part of God's intention. Not just that the Psalms would teach us to pray in and through the seasons of our lives, but they would teach and lead us to pray for others through all the seasons that others face. Which does require some perseverance with the Psalms, because although some Psalms will surprise us with how much they give voice to where we are right now, what we're going through, there will be many Psalms that don't. the next day we'll read a psalm and it will just feel like I can't find myself anywhere here. When I first started to pray through the Psalms regularly, a mentor encouraged me to just work my way through the psalm from start to finish, keep cycling through it. And if I didn't connect with the psalm of the day and felt I couldn't make it my own, to just move on to the next psalm, I'll likely find a psalm that gives voice to my heart. No worries, no guilt, just move on. Find the psalm that gives voice to your prayer and pray it. And that was a real help to me. It helped me get past whatever it was, like Psalm 15 or Psalm. There's this early on, I always felt like I start out the Psalms with this excitement and I get to like a certain number, maybe it's 27, and then I just stop and I never do the rest of them. But it helped me move forward and keep doing that and learn to pray the Psalms. But a couple years into this, someone else alerted me to the reality that though a psalm may not give words to what I'm going through today, there is someone in the world right now, maybe many people who need this prayer, who are living in the experience named in this prayer, who are praying this prayer, who need this prayer, who may need me to pray this prayer for them. And so I've been trying to live in this more and more over the years as I pray through the Psalms to be open to pray the prayers that are not just on my heart, but maybe on God's heart for another. And so I experienced that this week with Psalm 35, which I think is what prayer is about. Not just pouring out our hearts to God, but drawing near to God to hear and know and feel God's heart for us, but also for others, and pursuing that with God in prayer, that God's name would be honored, that his kingdom would come, that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, in your life, in mine, and the friends and neighbors and family that live around us. All that to say, I want to invite you to enter into the Psalms with me over the next number of weeks, and maybe beyond, to let God find you in the Psalms and to let God teach you to pray through the prayers of the Psalms. I'm curious if that resonates for some of us. I feel like it does for me. It's something I continually need to come back to. So one last thought as we come to a close. Check the time. Okay. Obviously, learning to pray the Psalms doesn't happen by just hearing me or someone else gives a teaching on a Sunday about the Psalms. It happens as we crack open the Psalms ourselves on our own or maybe with others and begin to pray them. I've always appreciated Eugene Peterson's counsel on this. He wrote simply, open your Bibles to the book of Psalms and pray them sequentially, regularly, and faithful across a lifetime. This is his answer, Eugene Peterson. He wrote The Message, if you're unfamiliar. Eugene Peterson's answer to the question, I want to learn to pray. How can I learn to pray? His answer is, open your Bibles to the book of Psalms and pray them sequentially, regularly, and faithfully across a lifetime. Practice these prayers so that you will learn the full range and vast depths of your lives in response to God. This is how most Christians, for most of the Christian centuries, have matured in prayer. Nothing fancy, just do it. Here and there, some of you, I'm sure, some of us, many of us have probably confessed that we don't read our Bibles much or both. We don't pray. We want to, but it's hard to know where to start and to make a habit of it. Well, why not embrace this as your invitation for the next few weeks or maybe the next season, maybe between now and Christmas, maybe now and 2030, as a chance to practice a simple habit of reading and praying one psalm each day. Who knows how God might meet you and lead you and teach you to pray and breathe in and through you for God's glory, your joy, and for the sake of the world. So there you go. There's your invitation, friends. Let's start Psalm 1 this week. And to close, I'd love for us actually to do this, not Psalm 1 exactly, but actually Psalm 6, to have us just end this by actually doing what we're talking about, allowing God to lead us in prayer through a psalm. So if you have a Bible, turn with me to Psalm 6, although it's going to be on the screen because we want to read it together We'll read it together from the NIV. So whether you read it out loud or just in the silence of your thoughts, let's read this psalm together. And one little note, if you look at it, your translation probably has a little inscription, maybe in italics in a smaller font. It says, for the director of music or to the choir master or something like that. It begins with that, which is a beautiful little insight that we often miss that tells us that this psalm, like many others, was not written as like a journal entry, a private prayer, but was written for the community, meaning it was naming an experience that many of us have, meaning we need to pray this knowing we're not alone, knowing we pray this with others and for others. So let's read this prayer together, this psalm, and then we'll pray from it. We'll have some pauses as we go, just take it in the sections, okay? Psalm 6. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord, how long? Verse 4. Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from the grave? Verse 6. I am worn out from my groaning. All night long, I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Verse 8, you kind of hear the psalmist turn toward looking out towards the world, maybe the world that's pushing in. Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be overwhelmed with shame and anguish. They will turn back and suddenly be put to shame. Having read that, I'm sure some of us instantly feel ourselves being named here, whereas others of us feel like it's not the prayer of my experience right now. And if that's you, that's wonderful, but it is someone else's, right? So with that, having read this psalm, if that was me at home, I was unhurried, I'd go back and read it again and just start letting these words be launched into prayer. But let me do that with you. Let's pray together as we close. Lord, as the psalmist says again and again in the psalm, Lord, Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God of creation. God, as the psalmist says, we say today, have mercy on me, for I am faint. And so for friends here, God, who are praying this prayer with me today, who find themselves in this place beaten down by the trials of life, maybe even by wondering of where you are, feeling an absence in the midst of trial, Lord, have mercy. For we are faint. Have mercy, Lord, and turn toward us, Lord. Turn, Lord, and deliver us. Save us because of your unfailing love, God. God, we cry out to you for those who feel in a desperate place, who need to be saved. God, life has got to a point where their cry is to be delivered, Lord. They feel trapped by oppressive forces within or beyond or in the world, or just let loose. Lord, we ask, turn, Yahweh, and come near. Allow the broken to find you, God, coming near and lifting them up in their soul, their body, their relationships. Come, Lord, turn, Lord, and deliver. God, we hear these words in verse 6, I am worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. Lord, we stand alongside of one another. I come to you for the sake of those among us who feel at that point of despair, God, for whom it is all darkness and loss. That's how it feels, God. And we ask, God, that you would come and cast the light of Christ, hope, God, in you, into that dark place. Lord, that they would know you, Yahweh, the shepherd in the dark valley, you hosting them at the table in the presence of enemies, Lord, provided for refuge, Lord, in the midst of so much, Lord. Come, Lord, turn, Lord. And as the psalmist witnesses, Lord, to their gratitude that they have been heard by you, Lord, we pray that for our friends, Lord, here, listening with us, who feel like it's just a steel ceiling, Lord, voice lifted up, but where is God? Lord, would you reveal the way in which you are the God who hears us, because you are the God who hears us. You are the God who sees us. This is who you are, Yahweh. That name comes to us out of the Exodus, the God who heard the cry of the suffering Israelites in Egypt and came to deliver them. Oh God, would you give us hope in the midst of the valley, in the midst of the land between, that you see us, you hear us, you are with us, and that your presence is more than just a comforting word, but a living power, a living Lord, rescuer. So come, Lord. Come and lead us to yourself, Lord. As we walk through these weeks, would you meet us in your word? Would you speak to us through these psalms? And find us where we are and give us language, God, language for our soul to find you in the land between, God, in a way that would lift us up and glorify you, God. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.